Good morning, everybody. Oh, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Okay. Well, you guys, in 2 weeks, I didn't mention it during announcements, but in 2 weeks, I got a call from our district superintendent, and we will be having here the vice president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And he's actually Ed's boss, and he's over all the district superintendents across the nation. So in 2 weeks, which I think is the 17th, just before our district conference, he'll be coming here. So I want to just encourage you, mark that on your calendar. And we're looking at maybe doing something a little bit after the service for that, just to make it a blessing to him. So that will be 2 weeks from this Sunday. So mark that on your calendar. His name, I think, is Tim. I don't know his last name. Tim something. I never met this gentleman. And it will be in our bulletin next week, and I'll get the information to him. So. Pursue. When you guys hear the word pursue, what comes to your mind? Huh? Go after. Anybody else? When you hear the word pursue, Daddy, what does pursue mean? How would you describe pursue? Relentless? Chase. Okay. Did you say something, Anthony? Oh, okay. What about you, Dale? When you think of pursue, what comes to your mind? Sue says something. Okay. To go after, to chase, to track down, to hunt. You know, I'm presently listening to this Audible book, and it's called Leadership in Turbulent Times by Doris Kearns Goodwin. And in this book, she talks about four different presidents. She talks about Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson. And all I can say is I fell in love with Theodore Roosevelt. He was a cool president. And what's interesting in his life is he lost his wife, he lost his mother on the same day from different things. And so he withdrew from politics for about 2 years, went up to North Dakota, and lived the life of a cowboy on a ranch for about 2 years. And during that period, he truly became a cowboy. And they bought cattle, he did cattle drives, he learned to hunt. And he learned to become really, even though he had issues with asthma and I think his sight and all that, he was a pretty good marksman, but he became an excellent hunter. And he could learn to track and hunt after and go after different animals. And he was a broad guy. I mean, not only was he a police commissioner, and he just all these things, but a big thing, he was a hunter. He was a cowboy. You guys ever hear of the Rough Riders? Well, he was because of Theodore Roosevelt. You know, it's interesting, but the idea to pursue, to hunt, and to go after something. Are there any hunters here? Yeah, we're not. Are you a hunter? Any hunters? Oh, okay. Well, Di and I actually years and years ago candidated for a position, and they wanted us to come out, but we chose not to go. We just felt like God wasn't leading us there. But it was up in Montana, Kalispell, Montana, and everyone, it seemed, in that church hunted. And these ladies had nice clothes. I'm like, because they don't have a lot of big malls in that area because it's really closed off. It's surrounded by Glacier National Park. And they were like, these ladies were dressed really nice. They had to order their clothes online because they have a lot of options there. And I talked to these ladies, oh yeah, we go hunting, we fill our freezer. These ladies hunted. I think that would have been one place I could truly say my wife would not have fit into. I mean, they were hardcore hunters, fishermen. It was huge there. But they loved to hunt. They loved to track. But I'm not a hunter. I may have attempted to be one at one time. I recall when I was younger, I forget what age, you couldn't hunt until you got your hunter's license if you're underage. And I remember going to the Ron and Gun Club and going through the training of how to shoot a shotgun or whatever, a rifle, and how to hand it over a fence and not shoot someone in the leg and all those normal things you take when you're learning to hunt. And I remember taking that class, then later going home after I finished that class, and I got my dad's shotgun. We were renting this house, but it was on like in 10 acres or whatever, and I went out to hunt for deer. Thank goodness I did not get one, because I wouldn't even know what to do if I did shoot it. I mean, skinning, you do everything, you know, you have the glands you have to take out so it doesn't hurt the meat, or all this stuff. I had no idea what I was doing. So I'm glad that I did not go out and get one, because I would have just shot it and I would have been in trouble. But to hunt, though, if you ever talk to a hunter, a true hunter, you have to put thought. They've learned how to be able to track, right? To pursue can mean to go after, to chase, to hunt, to track. You learn how to go out and you know where. You learn where the deer are. You learn. And they go, and they after experience with other hunters and hunting, they go out, they learn to find the deer trails. They go, they found the deer, the pellets or whatever, and they figure out, okay, where the water source is. And some diehard ones even do cameras, and they look at the cameras. But then after they find where the deer are, after they track and they look at the different footprints to know that they were deer, all these things, they wait and they wait and they wait until it's time, and they wait and they bang and they shoot when it's done, right? They learn to hunt. And years ago, my dad introduced me to this book called Tracker. And this book is interesting because it talks about a guy who, as a boy, he lived practically, I think, most of his life in the wilderness as a boy. And he lived with he had a friend whose grandfather was an Indian. And this grandfather taught them all these things about tracking and hunting. And he would even do crazy things where, you know how Indians, you watch shows and Indians say these obscure things about nature or something, about, you know, learn, have the, you know, teach the animal to love you, or just something strange like, what? And there's even one story where the kids, as boys, they'd sit there and they could sit there and they'd spend hours waiting until suddenly all the different birds would land on them, and they'd watch the animals, and they learned how to be, you know, as they would do, they would learn from nature about how to befriend the animals. Or the even idea one time when the guy goes, you know, about, you know, they'd learn where, I think the Indians sometimes would take the person would hardly have any clothes, hardly anything out, and throw them in the storm and go survive. You know, it's like, and the Indian would say something like, oh, embrace the cold. You're like, yeah, right, I'm going to die. But they'd go out there and they'd learn to survive. Well, one thing he did and he learned is he could learn to track. And this guy could look at a track of any different type of animal. He could discover where it was going, how heavy it was, all these things from a track. It was new, fresh, old. And this guy, even though he didn't put this in his book, sometimes the FBI or they would hire him and send him to go look for, you know, criminals that have escaped. And he'd be able to go in the wilderness and find them. But he never went into that. But he learned to track. Did he just know how to do it one day? No. He had to learn. Just like if you go hunting, you have to learn to hunt. So when I say, you guys, about to pursue, first I want us to grasp this. Okay, to pursue means to chase, to go after, to track down, to hunt, and it's something you have to learn to pursue. But now I have another question for you guys today. A couple questions. How many here would say, now you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many believe here that this is God's inspired living word of God? First, okay, do you believe that? Second, do you believe that we must obey God's word? Not only read, know it and believe this, but read it, and not only hear it, but do it. How many of us believe that The test of our love for God is if we obey it or not. Not perfectly, but we learn to obey it. Did not Jesus say in John 15:15, if you love me, you will sometimes kind of maybe obey me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, so pursue means to do this. We believe in God's word that we should not only read it, but begin to live it. And now we come to the word today because I want us to begin to not only hear God's word, but live it. So if you have your Bibles today, let's get into God's word. It is 1 Corinthians 14:1. If you have a Bible, if you have it on your phone, or they'll display up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians 14:1. And I am going to camp most of my message on these two verses. And I'll tell you what, you guys know me. I like to use a lot of scripture, but I'm purposely focusing primarily on these two this verse and two words of this verse. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me get to it myself here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not 1, 14, sorry. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Of course, I use my Bible I've had for years, and now it's getting hard to turn. It's like almost 20, 30 years old. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:1, and it says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The first two words is what? Pursue love. I want you guys to repeat that after with me today. Pursue love. Again, pursue love. Okay. Pursue means what? To go after, to chase, to hunt for, to track down. To pursue love. And you know what's interesting is this chapter, this verse follows the famous 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, the known love chapter in the New Testament. So after Paul talks about love and what love is and the importance of love, he begins here, we see in verse 1, to pursue love. We are to pursue love. Not only know about it or believe it's important, but we are to live, we are to love one another. Love, to pursue love, is an action word. It is not only something that we see here we are commanded to do, but it's also something that we need to grow in and to pursue. It's not something that we're not all there yet. We need to chase after it. We need to go after it. We need to seize it. Are you pursuing love today? You know, what's the two greatest commandments in the Bible? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, they're not that important. They're only the two greatest commands, or really the greatest in the Bible, commandments. Yet how much do we seize, go after, and pursue love? We make it a priority to learn to love one another. And if you look in the very context of this verse, to pursue love, you know, here he's not talking about your family. Oh, pursue love in your family. Other scriptures talk about that. This is at all talking about your family. This is not at all talking about your wives, if you're married, or your spouses. This passage is specifically focused on the community, the church. Are you pursuing love with people within the church here? Are you pursuing love? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the spiritual gifts. Later in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the body, which is made up of many members, talking about the church. And then we come to 1 Corinthians 13, and he talks about love, how important love is within the church. And then after he talks about love, we come to 1 Corinthians 14 to pursue love. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 to you guys. And I know you've heard it before, but just listen to this. How important, when you think of how important it is as a body of Christ, he just says, pursue love. You just told me that that this is God's word, that he's telling us to do it. You also told me that it's important not only to hear, but to do. Now let's see why love is important. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 starts as, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. How many people like that? How many people like when you take your nails, just picture it right now, and put them on a chalkboard? It just goes right down. No, that's what he just said. I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I'm gong, 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 a loud, a clanging cymbal. It hurts the ear. And then in verse 2 it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If we are not a community of love, we're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he goes into the definition of what love is, or what love does, how love acts, how love pursues, what the pursuing heart of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Wow. The greatest of these is love. He just gives us about love. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue it. Go after it. Chase it amongst the people of God. We are to do it. Pursue love. Intentionally go after it. Work on it. Plan to do it. Like a hunter goes for the prey. Hound people with love. Track people. Hunt for people in love. Are you pursuing? Are we here? If you come here, are you pursuing one another in love? Or is another question, are you only pursuing the people you feel comfortable pursuing in love? It doesn't say that there. Pursue love for one another. Are you, am I obeying God's word? Now, I think the problem, you guys, is we just get so busy. Because when I look at much of the church today, when I even look at our church today, I see loving people. I know many of you guys. I love you, and I know many of you love me. But you know what I also see? Many people who are either too busy or don't know how to love the different people in the community. For example, did you notice who is not here today? Did it even cross your mind? A specific person. And do you care? Not because they're just not here, but why? Maybe they're working. Okay. But maybe they had a family member die. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Did it even cross your mind? Or have you noticed someone sitting maybe by themselves? And have you taken the moment at all this morning to go over and introduce yourself? Hey, how are you doing? Welcome. Because any person that walks through that door is considered a believer in Jesus Christ. Even if they truly aren't or not, we are to accept them as, hey, they're coming into our community. So in the church, we need to notice not only the new people, but the people that are here, that they're not alone. We are to pursue love with one another. How are we to pursue love if we don't know it's the people who we are told to love? I think another reason, as I mentioned briefly before, that's sometimes difficult to show our love is that we don't realize that there are different expressions of love. You know, we each can love, no question. God made us in His image. He loves, we love. But you don't have to be an outgoing person to love. I'm outgoing. My beloved is outgoing. Oh, all my kids are outgoing at this point. You don't have to be outgoing to love. That's not the only way to love. It doesn't matter who you are. You need to find your expression of how to love. I'm going to get an example. Doug, I want you to come up here to the front, please. I'm putting Doug on the spot because I know he can handle it. Don't worry. I won't put you on the spot unless I really think you can handle it. Okay, Doug, I want you to stand right here at the front and face me. So, and then face me. Sunday morning. Woo! I come in. Hey, Doug, how you doing, man? Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, it's great seeing you today. Thank you, Doug. That was good. Hey, you guys, do you know I do not come to church and I don't expect a hug from Doug? Now, I don't mind. I would love you guys to continue that process up the upcoming weeks. No problem. Give Doug all the hugs. He can handle it. Okay? But you see that I know that's not Doug. I know, I've known Doug now almost 5 years. I know that's not Doug on how he receives love or even how he expresses love. But do I take the time to figure out how to love Doug? Or Doug, who doesn't express through hugs, does that excuse Doug from not loving? No. He must find his expression of how to love. You guys see that? Because we all have it in us, in our very nature, in the image of God. God loved us, and He's given us ability to love. I mean, just think about, you guys, how incredible that we can love, and we need to find our expression to love one another. How do you, what is your expression? How do you show love? And you know, in the upcoming weeks, you know, you guys ever hear that book called The Five Love Languages? It's great, like marriages and relationships. I would like to share a little bit about on that, some of that, about how we can love. Because sometimes we love people how we feel loved, and it doesn't mean anything. right? I could go over and I could say, I'm going to be my wife this way. And if I do something else, if I wash dishes and I clean up the kitchen and she comes in and it's clean and she didn't tell me to do it, woohoo, ding, I got points. I love my wife, right? There's ways of loving, of expressing love, and we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. I believe this is so important that as I just finished a series on prayer, I am starting a new series called Learning to Love. And you know, there's so many verses on love, but I want to really do a series on love, on learning to love, because I know there's love here. But I also know that some don't know how to express it. And we need to find our expression. If we are to be, as we're growing healthier and healthier, as we bring more people to know the Lord, as people come here, we must know our expression of how to love. Because one, I want to obey God's word. I want to pursue love. Because earlier you told me, I believe in God's word, right? And I'm going to obey it and not only hear it. So in 2019, we are going to be bold in relationships, bold in pursuing love. But you know what? This is going to have some big application. And I'm hoping, I believe in you guys. Each week during the study, now I may change things, so don't hold me perfectly to this. Is I am going to assign us as a church to an individual or family for the week. And you have to figure out how to express love to that person that week. And I'm going to have that person, if they want to share how they were loved, or they could give me how they felt about it. I ask them, so I don't think I'm going to have to get up here. I mean, I know Stephanie would love to come up here and share right now, right? I'm teasing her. Now, Mark, he'd be okay with it probably, right? But I'm going to pick on people and say, you know, that week, and then are they going to come the following week and go, oh, no one can, or are they going to say, oh, this is how people love me this week? It's going to be a whole group assignment on one individual or one family or couple, say a couple. Who's going to be this week? This is going to be good. And no, I'm not going to pick you because you're, I'll pick you because I think it's going to pick you. Okay. The first, and then, you know, I'm sorry in one way to this first couple because I hope we do, as we go on, I want us to do better as we learn our expression. But I think a great first couple to do this with is Mark and Stephanie. Oh, yeah. We didn't need anything. All we need from you, Mark and Stephanie, is when people show you some type of love this week, and I'm not even going to give ideas how to do that. You guys figure it out. If you want ideas, talk to me or talk to my wife after. I'm not saying anything up here because we're going to be talking about how to do that. Okay, Ash, okay. This week, they're our target. Are you guys okay with that? Can they be our target this week? Now, I would love Doug to give them a big hug. Okay, he's probably not going to do that. But this week, figure out some way, a little expression of love to this couple, our family, right? Because that's how you look at them. Are you guys okay with that this week? I'm not going to give you anything about them because it's your job to chase and pursue and to love them, okay? And Mark, we'll talk later if you're willing to share on it, or you can let me know. We'll go. Okay. So I want this to be, when we talk scripture, let's live it. Let's find fun ways to express. Because you know what? I want God to do something fresh and new in this area of our lives. Will you pursue love this week? I believe in it. Do I? Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I know. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a powerful speech called I Have a Dream, right? We all hear that. We've heard that maybe. You know what I dream for our community? I want to be part of a community where people yearn and love to hang out with one another, not only here, but outside of church. I want to be a part, I dream of a community where people can laugh and cry together and not be judgmental of one another. I dream of a church, a community where we have a heart to reach our community as we're looking for ideas. We're searching for ways to love and reach out to our community. Why? Because we pursue love with one another. You dream for a community like that? It starts not with me. It starts with the leadership, the heart of it, but it really begins with all of us as we learn to pursue love. If you have the worship team come forward, we'll get ready for communion as well. During worship, they're going to be handing out our communion elements. But you guys, this is my challenge. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, do you realize that you would not be that if Jesus did not pursue you in love? Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything really except what he did himself. When we celebrate communion, we are celebrating, really, ultimately, God's love and his pursuit of us to save us and what he had to do to get us to that place. We are who we are today because of him, is his pursuing us. And he's telling us to pursue love just like he pursued us in love. So I want us to remember that today. The love of God, of communion, of the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, was because of his pursuing love. And when they hand out these elements, the bread and the blood, this is only for a believer in Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, this communion is not for you. Just let pass by you. It is for a believer in Jesus Christ to make it. It's an outward confession in one way, an inward remembrance of what Jesus did when his body was broken and his blood was shed on the cross. It's meant for the believer, not for the unbeliever. So as they hand out, and we were going to go through the song of worship as they're handing out the elements, and then we'll take it together at the end. Guys, remember the pursuing love of God as we worship, as we make a commitment this week to love this couple. Let's remember the pursuing love of God, and let's be obedient to his word. Let's worship.
This alabaster jar is all I have of worth. Break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're far more beautiful, more precious than the oil, the sum of my desires, and the fullness of my joy.
Yeah, that was such a powerful song. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. You mean, worthy is He of our love, affection, of our worship. Cracker represents the body. And you remember when Jesus was with His disciples before the crucifixion, He broke the bread and He handed it to them. And this, and He said, this is My body, which is broken for you. As much as you do this in remembrance of Me. And He said that to them before they had any idea what He meant. But we know. As we take this, let's remember right now the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Let's take it together.